The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final hour of The Usual Suspects starts right now. It is Nick, Barry, and myself, Joel, as we take you till 4 o'clock on The Usual Suspects. Plenty of banter and stuff to talk about today. We started with your Rockets and a disappointing loss. They've lost 3 of 4. They've got team meetings. They've got team turmoil. They've got issues. But they don't have the issues even close to your favorite baseball team because the hits just keep on coming.
So I Googled it at the break. Mike Trout, HGH. I found two links that I think are pretty interesting. The first one is from 2013. Where the Angels' Mike Trout was silenced after, quote, speaking out for a lifetime ban for PED offenders in baseball. So if we're going to report both sides of it, let it be known that Mike Trout has come out and said people should have a lifetime ban if they cheat and use steroids in baseball. He's on the record as saying that. He went on, some radio, I lost the name of it, but he was on record. And by the way, in the middle of all this research, I ran across an article that talked about HGH and Alex Rodriguez, and another name that popped up, Carlos Beltran. Interesting. Anyways, there was also a post on, you remember the Underground, Nick?
The
old MMA website?
Yes, well, forum. I do remember that.
There's a post on the Underground from December 2014, and this is what it says. And this is 5 years ago, and the guy that we just read the post from, David Brocious, just posted this today. But 5 years ago, 6 years ago, there was a post on the Underground that says, quote, I'm not going to name names, but a friend of mine plays in the Angels organization. He says that the, quote, medication that Mike Trout has taken before for his thyroid issue is TRT or some type of HGH. And then he says, here are two pics of Mike Trout. And it shows Mike Trout in the minors, and it shows Mike Trout as an Angel, and he's twice his size. It's literally Barry Bonds when he first comes up with the Pirates to Barry Bonds when he breaks the record as a Giant. It's literally that big of a difference. So I'm not going to say whether on the record as saying that Mike Trout's a cheater, but I'm telling you that theory of thyroids and HGH isn't something that this guy just threw out. Somebody said that they know someone in the Angels organization from 6 years ago.
And that was on the old Underground forum.
That was on the old Underground forum.
It's crazy.
Isn't that wild?
Man, you look at it, and you're Rob Manfred, and you're going, boy, I thought I had a good, firm grasp on all of this, and we were going to be able to move forward positively, and now.
Nope.
And then if this kind of stuff comes up, now it's like everything's coming out of the woodwork. Everything's coming out of the cracks, and it's not just about signals.
And by the way, the guy on the Underground that started the article and said his buddy works in the Angels organization and said that, he goes, oh, and by the way, just check his minor league numbers, 23 home runs and 1,300 at-bats.
Trout?
Yeah, that's what he said. Also, look at his power numbers in the minors. 23 home runs and 1,300 at-bats. I don't know if that's true. I can confirm it. I'll look it up. But, man, the point is, nobody is immune now. It's like, if I'm going down, I'm taking everybody with me.
Yeah, it's just
it's crazy. I think it's hilarious.
And MLB, this is the second time now they're going to go through it. They're going to go through a second era of just an absolute bad look of the league.
That's where I was going. The steroid era you thought was bad and you had to resurrect baseball and do all these things. This is worse because now I think it is because I think that, for one, you can just say, well, everybody did cheating. But now if this starts getting to this Trout story and other people start going, you know what, I got this dirty laundry to air and, oh, I know this was going on. And then it's just a horrible, horrible look for the sport.
Call me crazy. I'm not mad at the steroid era. Like, I don't know if I would have banned steroids, man. If you tell me, stick this needle in my ass cheek and it makes you run faster, hit harder, look like Brad Pitt, I'll do it.
Make more money.
I'll do it, man.
I mean, do it for the aesthetics.
Just let everybody do it. And if you're responsible for what you put in your body.
Yeah.
If you stick a syringe in you and then your kidney explodes, that's on you, bro. You're trying to get an advantage in it and it fired back. Like,
well, I think what it comes down to, though, and it's going to be any sport, but the reason you don't allow, it's why the UFC has been so adamant that it not be used, even though, come on, I know plenty of MMA fighters.
Oh, sure.
Two things that are for certain. MMA fighters are either on coke or doing HGH.
Oh, yeah.
At least on the local level, I'll tell you that.
When TRT wasn't banned, they were all
plenty of them were doing either one of those locally. And so I guarantee you it carries over as they move up the ranks. And you can tell. You can look at a guy and know if his body is natural or if he's taken something to help.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just look at Sosa and Bonds and even Maguire, who was long and rangy and lanky. He was taller.
Bonds
and
he was skinny when Bonds he came up,
Bonds was a five-tool stud. And we've said this on the show. I've said it over and over again. He was a Hall of Famer, certain Hall of Famer, as a five-tool player before he even started dabbling in this stuff and became this power-hitting home run monster. But the fact of the matter is that you can tell Sammy Sosa was a 180-pound center fielder when he broke into the game. And I don't care how many hours a day you're in the weight room, unless you're taking some serious stuff, it's damn near impossible to go from a 180-pound center fielder
right
to the size and the strength and the abilities that he put forth on the stage with Maguire during that run.
Yep, I'd agree.
So we'll see. It's just an overall bad look for baseball.
It is, and this is my favorite sport, and I love this sport so much. But at the same time, I don't care. These dudes are all millionaires, and if you think I'm going to feel sorry for anyone involved in baseball because everybody's cheating, and cheating not just in the same way. Everybody's doing it in their own way, and you want me to feel bad for the Yankees because they didn't win a World Series? Come on. Are you taking away anything? Yeah. Are you taking away all their wins while Alex Rodriguez was playing on them, who was suspended for steroids?
It's like anybody outside of New England feeling bad if the Patriots lose.
Yeah.
I mean, no one gives a rat's ass if the Yankees won it
or
not.
Get out of here. That's the beautiful thing about like Red Sox fans, is all these Barstool Jodes are out here like, oh, the Astros, this and that. Really? Are you going to, if you're demanding that the Astros give back their World Series, how many Patriots Super Bowls are you going to demand that they give back? Shut up, Barstool. That's why nobody likes y'all.
And the commissioner's a Yankees fan, too, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah, he's born and raised in New York.
That probably would. That would surprise me a bit.
And the thing is, as you look across the sports, all three major sports are guilty.
Yep.
You've got everything that's going on in baseball. You've got all the Patriots stuff and everything that we've talked about with the multiple Patriots instances in football. You got Tim Donaghy in the NBA, a referee that was betting on games. So it's a bad look for all of sports right now, and it's taken a lot of the innocence and the purity that people believed were in the game. And now, because of like the other stories that you're bringing up too, now it's like the real truth is going to come out. You're going to hurt a lot of people's feelings.
By the way, I just verified it. That is an accurate number on Mike Trout. 23 home runs between 2009 and 2011 in the minors. He hit 23 home runs combined over those three seasons. And I didn't add up the plate appearances or the at-bats, but yeah, it's like 2010, he had 500 at-bats. He hit 10 home runs.
Thyroid issues are serious, Barry.
Come on, man. You're going to tell me a dude got 500 at-bats in A-ball? He had 10 home runs, and now all of a sudden, he's twice his size. And
hitting, Tyler hitting 40. White, he was three times his size.
Yeah, wrong way, though.
That's what I'm just saying. It can go either way. It's like a coin flip. You don't know which way it's going to go with a thyroid. I mean, you could be Tyler White. You could be Mike Trout.
His wasn't HGH. It was PB&J.
I think it was worse than that. I think it was problem. KFC.
Yeah, that too.
That was what it was.
Yeah, that too, man. Yeah, wrong initials on Tyler White, buddy.
Yeah, just a bad, bad look right now for baseball, and it's getting worse. I mean, you've had three managers now and a general manager for the week. More stories coming out.
By the way, people are now texting me local MMA fighter names. Was it this guy that did coke? I ain't no snitch asshole. I am not snitching on any. I'm not naming names on who did drugs locally. Not doing it.
Yeah.
Not
doing it. Wow. So lots going on. Lots more to get to. Now the OBJ thing gets a lot
this
more
is
interesting.
So great.
One, you got one of the players for his team coming out and saying, LSU, you were wrong. It was real cash. And then you got him slapping a security guy's ass.
Yeah.
And now they're looking to arrest him.
I love it.
So
arrest his ass.
Just a ton of different
stuff jail.
Going on. So what we can
Odell Beckham jail. OBJ. I like it. Do it.
Well, all I know is first of all, he loves himself some attention.
He does. Well,
as we talked about the other day. Yeah. But
now
he gets attention the wrong way because he hauled off and hit Larry Bud Melman in the ass hard.
Yeah, Larry Bud
Dude
Melman.
Looked like...
You are so wrong.
But he looked just like him. I mean, when I first heard the story, I'm like, oh, OBJ had a few too many, and he saw a female security guard.
No.
He decided... No.
Right. He got a little handsy?
Yeah, he just took Larry Bud Melman in the freaking locker room and whacked him in the cheek.
You young guys have no idea who Larry Bud
Look
Melman
it up.
Is. But,
Google
oh,
it.
That's a funny reference.
Yeah, he
that's
was on well Letterman.
Done. That is well done.
So, yeah, there's video out there that has surfaced from the locker room at LSU and during the celebration after the whole money passing out thing. There were security people trying to get the LSU guys, obviously because Joe Burrow was one of them, from smoking cigars in and around the locker room areas with carpeting and all the other things. And there's a security guard that's trying to reprimand one of the LSU players, and OBJ is behind him. And they all start paying attention to what he's saying. And then they all start, you know, trying to think, well, easy, calm down a little bit, my man. You're getting a little worked up. And OBJ walks behind him, winds up, and smacks him in the butt.
Yeah, hard, too. I bet it hurt. That's why he's mad.
And the security guy kind of looks at him. He's perturbed, but he's still trying to do his job, which is to get these guys to stop smoking or whatever he was trying to reprimand him for. And now all of a sudden, New Orleans police have said that there's a warrant out for OBJ's arrest.
I love it.
For assault.
Love it. Can't go around slapping grown-ass men on the ass. Can't do it.
Well, you know, and basically the moral of the story is when you listen to the suspects, you can't do that. And based on the Penn State...
I didn't get a warrant.
Huh?
I didn't get a warrant out for my arrest for doing that.
You should have. You should. The way you did, man, I should have filed charges on you.
No, I should have filed charges on you.
Well, mine was just in retaliation.
Yours was egregious, is what yours was.
Mine so you
was,
covered the buttocks yesterday in the fact that from the Penn State scenario, there's so many things you cannot do. But now you're saying you can't just be, you can't haul off and whack a security guard in the hiney in the locker room either.
Nope, you can't. Can't do it. Not allowed.
Okay.
Don't touch another person. Don't slap another person anywhere. On the ass.
After you two violated each other in Beaumont, now it's suddenly no, well, don't touch, don't tell.
Here's the thing, though. We go together now. That's the thing, is the way we touched each other, we pretty much go together. So that's just.
I didn't know either. I didn't know you guys liked fencing.
Yeah, we go together.
All right. Well, then there's that. But so and then Joe Burrow comes out and says, after LSU's official statement says it was fake money that he was passing out, Joe Burrow goes, no, it wasn't.
Yeah,
it was
real.
Cash.
Good. So, like we didn't know that. Who's out there with what millionaire football player that loves the limelight and attention is going to take monopoly money on the field to give it to a player? Nobody. That was real cash for real attention.
So now LSU's had to backtrack and say, we're going to try and rectify this and make it right. We're working with the SEC, the NCAA, and every other initialed organization to try and make sure that no one's eligibility is lost and nothing was violated in the process. Obviously, the security guard was violated, but they can't stop that. But they're going to try and get to the bottom of the money issue. But it's just, come on, man. Let's just celebrate LSU's title. If you're an alum, be like Ryan Clark and Marcus Spears and be happy and celebrate. And you can smoke your cigars, but it doesn't have to be about all the attention and all the other extra.
It does when you're that thirsty.
Man.
He needs a deal with Gatorade, as thirsty as he is. Does he have one?
Just once. Have just a really great breakout, solid, strong, impressive year on the football field and nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, if this keeps going in this direction, you're going to say that you're going to talk about the guy's potential and his ability and where people would have him ranked season to season. But when you look at the numbers, you're going to go, what the hell happened?
Mm-hmm.
So,
fact.
There you go. We get going in hour number three. We're going to keep rolling. And if you want to join us, 713-780-3776. Call us, text us, or hit us on Twitter. We're here for you. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the final hour of the show. It's Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Thursday in the big city. Lots of news to talk about. Again, if you've missed it, Carlos Beltran and the Mets mutually part ways today. Alex Cora and the Red Sox mutually part ways yesterday. And, of course, Jim Crane releasing Jeff Luno and A.J. Hinch to start the week, all based on the baseball scandal. Also, tidbits that we've mentioned throughout the way, George Springer and the Astros come to an agreement on a one-year, $21 million deal. So he will be in the fold for at least one more season in Houston, becoming a free agent after the season. The Astros have interviewed Buck Showalter as their first candidate to sit down and talk with them about their managerial opening. John Gibbons is scheduled to be there today as they continue to roll through candidates. And now there's two other teams that are also searching for a manager because of the Mets and the Red Sox openings. So I'm sure that the same candidates the Astros want to talk to, most of them are also going to be interviewing with the Mets and in Boston.
Oh, yeah.
That's so there's all that.
Yep. I found this calculator that it says, how long does it take a star athlete to earn your salary?
Okay.
So, and yours being the collective you, right? So what do you think? I mean, I don't know. I would have to Google like the average salary in Houston, Texas.
Just say 45 just for, you know.
Let's see. The average salary in Houston is somewhere, ZipRecruiter says it's somewhere between $31,000 and $89,000 a year.
Okay.
Does that sound right to you?
I mean, it's a pretty big range.
I would say on average, well, it says average salary in Houston, Texas is $70K.
Okay.
Okay. So that's
I don't think that's the average salary.
You think it's lower?
I think it's lower.
Okay. So let's just go with $40K. All right.
Perfect.
Let's just say that if you make $40,000 a year, how long would it take LeBron James to make what it takes you 52 hard-earned weeks to? It would take LeBron James. Y'all want to guess how long it would take him to make that?
I'm going to say eight minutes of play.
I was going to say 5 minutes.
0.3 quarters. How long is a quarter?
12 minutes.
There you go. So a third of a quarter. So 4 minutes. It would take LeBron James 4 minutes.
Suck it, Nick. I won.
To make $40,000.
That's crazy to me.
It's stupid.
You wonder why, Nick, people take that syringe you were talking about and stick it in your ass cheek?
Hey, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. If everybody's allowed to do it, I'm all for it. If it's banned, no, don't do it.
How many rounds of golf do you think it takes Tiger Woods to make $40,000? How many rounds of golf?
I could.
We can either say rounds of golf or strokes. Your choice. How many rounds of golf or strokes does it take for Tiger Woods?
I would be a terrible guess at this.
I would say, obviously, it's hard to judge that because you have to win the tournament or be in the money, but I would say 3 holes.
It takes him a half a round.
So that would be 9 holes.
Yeah, 32 okay. strokes. To earn $40,000 in golf. And it says Tiger earns $3.2 million per year, $8,766 a day.
And then you go to Waffle House to pick up ass? I don't get it, man.
That dude makes $365 an hour, $6.09 a minute. He makes 1 cent every second.
Here's the other factor.
Or 0.1 cents a second.
That's just based on his salary playing his sport. When you think about endorsements and things like that, too. LeBron's, if you factor in the Nike deal and all the other deals he's got too, it's quicker than that.
Yeah. You want to know how long it takes Tom Brady to make $40,000?
Sure.
0.12 quarters or 1.04 pass attempts. Every time that dude throws the ball, $40K.
Wow.
$40K. Tom Brady makes $22 million per year, $60,274 every day. That dude makes more in a day than most people make in a year. He almost makes what, according to this website, is the average salary in Houston, Texas at 70. He makes 60 every day. He makes $2,500 an hour, $41 a minute, 70 cents per second. Oh, there's another 70 cents. Oh, there's another 70 cents. That's just crazy.
You talk about mad money. That's
unbelievable.
That is it. That is definitely it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, wow. You think about it and go, again, that's why these guys do everything that they do. And that's why Marshawn Lynch tells you that the only thing that can screw it up is if, yeah, you got to take care of your chicken. Because as long as you take care of your chicken and you take care of your body and you take care of yourself.
And your mentals.
And your mentals. And now I'm supposed to feel bad, though, that players are getting accused of cheating. Man, I don't feel sorry for none of these cats.
That's the other thing. If you get the right injection and you cheat the right way.
Oh, okay. How long do you think it takes Mike Trout to make $40,000? How many innings or hits do you think it takes? How much do you think he gets?
4.5 innings.
1.45 innings.
Oh,
an inning and a half to make $40K. He gets 40K for every .17 hits he gets. Not even a full hit. It's not even like 40K.
And he's got a thyroid condition.
And, yeah, that's the thing.
He's thinking about it. He's doing that with that kind of disability.
That dude makes $1.08 per second. Second. He's making
$1 a second.
It's ridiculous.
The endorsements?
Oh, yeah. Now, I don't know if this calculates or includes their endorsements or not, but it does have their salary like $34 million
a year. Yeah, LeBron's like Nike deal is like most of these guys, a lot of these guys, their shoe deals now, Harden, Kevin Durant, their deals are up until they sign these new extensions with the new CBA were greater than their NBA money.
Oh, yeah. I mean, James Harden's was, right?
Yeah, the Adidas deal was huge for him. So
like a quarter of a bill, right? Yeah, like 200.
I know Durant was in the 360 million range when it was being kicked around back and forth.
I thought Harden's was 250 mil for Adidas.
That sounds about right.
I wonder. I'll have to look it up. But yeah, I thought it was like 250 million. It was 200 million. Harden agreed to a $200 million shoe contract with Adidas. That seems like a lot of wasted money. Do you think that they made that money back in sales?
He is one of the ones that has taken off in terms of his signature shoe. So there's a chance.
And that was 5 years
ago. But for the most part, look, and here's the other thing. T-Mac, Allen Iverson, they didn't just sign like multi-year deals with Reebok and Adidas. They signed lifetime deals, which means they're still getting paid, which means they're not playing anymore. Yeah, they can, you know, they can still bring back the old, you know, the old question. I mean, the answer shoes and the T-Mac shoes and all that other stuff. They're still getting paid.
I would like to look up what the sales were last year. Like who had the highest selling sneakers? I mean,
well, I think it'll
be
Jordan
one. It's still going to be Jordan, right?
Nike and then Jordan are going to be in terms of overall. Like my buddies and I from our Saturday basketball, we were talking about the other day a couple weeks ago, and I brought it up on the show that one of my buddies said that Nike controls over 90% of the basketball shoe market in the United States, and I just said I cried BS. And he brought up the article, and it wasn't a source that I was familiar with. But you would think now with Puma and Under Armour with Steph Curry, Adidas, which has become more and more with Harden and Lillard and some of the guys, you would just think that that number would have gone down. Yeah. That Nike wouldn't have that much dominance over the entire basketball shoe market.
No, I would. With Jordan and LeBron.
Well, I don't
LeBron.
Know if they separate those or link them together. Well, but even still, you think about the guys in the NBA that are wearing it. There's plenty of guys on the court wearing Under Armour and wearing.
Yeah, but I mean, dude, Jordans, there's releases every month that they sell out like that. Mm-hmm. And like when the breads dropped right before Christmas, Jose was telling me, he's like, bro, you're going to get some? They made over a million. Usually they don't make that many, but they know it's Christmas and they want that money. So they made a million of these of those bread Jordan 11s. I didn't even get a pair. They sold out literally in 2 minutes. They sold a million sneakers in 2 minutes in one day.
Yeah, I'd be interested. That the article he pulled from was like 2014 or 2015, which was before, I think, all the Steph Curry Under Armour and the prominence of other brands. But, I mean, look, regardless, I would be interested to see what the numbers are now in 2019.
There's a Forbes article that says what the biggest sneaker deals are. The top, let's see. One is Jordan at $130 million. Two is LeBron at $32 million. Three is KD at $26 million. So that's Nike. Number four is Steph Curry with Under Armour with $20
million. So time out. Michael Jordan is still making all that cash?
$130 million deal.
Wow.
$130. LeBron is $32. KD, $26. Steph Curry is $20. And number five is Kobe Bryant, also Nike, at $16 million. So you got more retired guys than players in the top five. Six is Harden with Adidas. And then you got Zion now at seven with $13 million.
Jordan.
Yep.
Man, I don't know how all those guys do not have a prenup. Maybe some of them do.
Zion and Harden are single.
I would just stay single.
Thing is, too, and we talked about this.
Yeah, kidding me? Smart.
You see that Under Armour just signed Joel Embiid, his signature shoes coming out like in a year. Fact of the matter is, the one spokesperson for a signature shoe that doesn't do well, the big man. The Ewing didn't do well. We laughed at all the Elijah Wan attempts at it. You know, for all the big men that have been in the game that have tried to have a signature shoe, the big man's shoe doesn't sell.
Nope.
The flash and the dunk and the dash and the pizzazz of LeBron and Jordan and KD and Steph and all these guys and Harden and all these guys. It's crazy. But Embiid's about to, and Under Armour are about to release an Embiid signature shoe.
I don't think it'll do well.
I don't think it will either.
Giannis is 12 on this list.
I'm still not.
I'm not even counting him as a big man, are you?
No. Mm-mm.
And then on the list at 14 is Klay Thompson with $9 million for Anta.
And Luka Doncic just signed with Jordan, too.
Yeah.
So we've got all that. All right, we got a half hour to go on the show. It's really flown by, but 30 minutes on the clock. Still time for you to get involved with us. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. I've been with Infuse Energy over 3.5 years. I just re-upped with them, and why wouldn't I? Because since I switched from my previous energy provider, I've saved thousands. I'm not kidding you. I've saved thousands, and how do I know? Because they send me on a monthly basis the rundowns of my bill and when I'm using energy the most, when I'm using the energy the least, and the amount of money I'm paying from year to year and making all kinds of comparisons. So all the analytics are there. All the data is there for me to compare and go back and look at my other bills and go, man, they are saving me money while doing exactly what they're supposed to do. And that is provide me the best energy at the best prices with the best deal. Check them out. They got a 5 out of 5-star rating with the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. It's the best you can get. You call them at 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. You mention ESPN 97.5. Right off the top, they give you a $25 bill credit to get the relationship started the right way. Then you're going to get a human being on the phone, not an automated system, and they're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them, because quite simply, they want to find out when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for your family or your business? And then they're going to pinpoint the best rate and the best deal that they can possibly give you. It's just a smart way of doing business, and it's always 100% honest. So in those rare times there's another company out there that can beat their prices, they're going to tell you that too, because maybe you don't go with them this time, but you'll be back to them because you know you can trust them like a friend. It's just a fantastic way to do business here in the Houston area. Josh Pesikoff and his staff are focused on customer service and the people of Houston. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. Infuse energy into your life.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final half hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It is Barry, it is Nick, it is myself, Joel, as we take you up until 4. Blitz takes you till 7. If you've missed any of this spirited episode of the program, I suggest you go to ESPN975.com. At the top of the page, you'll find all the different shows. Click on The Usual Suspects. Tab will drop down. You can catch up on the hours you missed today. And then while you're at it on that front page, follow the directions to download the app. Then you take us anywhere, everywhere. And you can always listen to us across the country, wherever you may go, and you will never miss another show.
Do not miss another show.
Real quick announcement.
Yes. Okay.
So the Blitz is going to broadcast live from Tight End Sports Bar and Grill, and I will be there.
Oh, nice.
Following the show, 2502 Gulf Freeway, League City, guy-friendly bar, booze, TV, food, be there.
Booze, also.
Boobs.
Boobs.
Booties.
Booze and boobs.
Booties.
Booties.
Booties, boobs, and.
Plenty of that.
Booze. And by boobs, I mean you and AJ and me, and Fred. Yeah. Y'all are the boobs.
That's 6 more boobs to add to the.
No, I just made you 3. I wasn't actually talking about your gross. Ugh. Don't show people those.
But anyway, I want people to show up. Suspects, 97.5ers, Blitzers.
Go hang out. Blitzers, Suspectors. That's what we should have called them instead of the Suspects. Because everyone accused us when we first started of wanting to be like the Blitz, which why would we ever?
I know.
We should have called them the Suspectors. And then that way they would have. All right. So a couple texts that I thought were pretty interesting. Somebody texted and said, the other day I compared OBJ to JJ Watt. And after seeing the ass slap video, I would like to admit I'm a dumbass for trying to defend him. And I would agree with that.
You are correct, sir.
You are a dumbass. And then there's this tweet or this text from White Magic who said, so the big news today is AJ is a cokehead and Barry and Nick go together. No.
Got him.
White Magic.
Text of the day, sir.
AJ is not the local MMA fighter that I was referring to that does coke. That is not true. That is fake news. You are spreading lies and rumors, White Magic. And I obviously know he doesn't do steroids. I mean, you just look at him. Nothing about AJ says steroids. But no, he doesn't do coke, White Magic.
White Magic is back, staying in contact with the show.
I can't read half of his
texts. Texting on a more regular basis.
I can't read half of them because they're disparaging to the Blitz, so I just delete them.
Really?
That one, yeah.
Was a little good. Regardless of the fact, that was a fun back and forth.
The fact that you always hyper-protect the Blitz, and they like to crap on us. They've gotten better, I will say
this.
They've gotten better.
I'm not hyper-protective. What I did is I made
that one.
I made a commitment to stop the show on show violence from our part.
Oh.
From our part. We no longer
really... So
they can
really double up on elsewhere.
No, I mean, just take your shots individually. But as a show, we don't necessarily need to have this show on show violence internally. Right?
Sure.
No? Barry. Okay. Now you wait to make it awkward.
You write the rules that make the whole text line
No, this is just me. I'm in charge of the text. If you want to read it, you have access to it. Read it. If you want to read the disparaging White Magic to the Blitz text,
I go through the deleted ones sometimes.
I do too.
So
that's where I live.
I try to keep it more positive from the text line. Unless there's someone that really annoys me and it makes me angry. And then I just have to read it and rant for a minute about them and their stupidity.
I live in the bowels of the deleted items.
Well, I like our system. It works. It doesn't mess me up. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing.
And since it's all about you.
It is all about me.
As long as you're not messed up,
I'm glad you admit that. Look, okay. No, I'm tired of this. From now on, Joel, you take over the text line. That's fine. You're in charge of the text line from now on. I'm done.
Okay. That's it. I'd rather just I can read all the bad texts about you two. That's what I want to do.
That's it. Joel gets to read the text from now on.
Where are you guys on this whole Cowboy Cerrone and Conor McGregor?
Looking forward to the fight.
I am very much. Sure. Yeah, I am very much looking forward to this fight. I watched the entire the 30-minute press conference this morning. I don't know why. I usually never do.
How'd it go, though?
But it was really good. In fact, I was surprised at how Conor has kind of turned over a new leaf.
A little bit. He's humbled a little bit.
He's been humbled. He even talked about how he was going down that road of Mike Tyson. You know, there was the sexual assault accusations.
Two of them.
Yeah, there's
he hit the old guy in the bar. The old man throwing the stool through the window of the bus.
He like many pro athletes, Conor started to believe that he was untouchable, that he was infallible, that no one could get him, so to speak. And then, I mean, when you think about it, dude hadn't won in the UFC since 2015.
I know.
Really? That long?
I've been hypercritical about him only because of his behavior. I'm okay with talking trash to earn a fight.
Me too.
At this point, that's the landscape of what MMA is, and not just at the UFC level.
That's combat sports, right? Let's be real. Don King always hyped up boxing. You had, Mike Tyson was the bad boy. You have Conor McGregor. You have Tito Ortiz sold fights by being a bad dude in the UFC early on. There's, I get that. You're going to sell pay-per-views. Now, I don't like it when it gets to the whole, dolly through the bus window type stuff. That I think it's still a sport. And I get you're gonna hype it up, but
that was criminal, man.
That was criminal.
And a lot of people got hurt. Yeah.
In the case of Bellator, when there was somebody in the ring with Tito, I think it was Tito Ortiz. He had a mask on. He pulls the mask off and it was his opponent's trainer. And everyone's like, what's going on? That was too fake for me. That was too wrestling for me. But I don't mind throwing a water bottle at Nate Diaz across the thing because you genuinely hate that dude. Yeah. I don't mind that.
But that's what I said, too. It's the genuine part of it. Because when I went, the one time it was here with all the really, really big fights, and you see and you hear all of the venom being spewed up until the fight, and then I was privileged enough to go back underneath by the locker room areas, and the guys that were supposedly hating each other were hugging it out and laughing and having a beer or whatever it was, and you're like,
that's
pretty common
in the sport, though. That is pretty common.
It's just
kind of
disappointing as a fan.
Yeah, you want it to be real. You want that hate and vitriol to be real. And on occasion, it is. On occasion, you get a fight where two guys absolutely don't like each other, and when it's over with, they still don't like each other.
Actually, I mean,
for the most part in MMA, you do get it is a fight, so you do get guys that hey, I need to hate you
in order to whip your ass. Question whether it was
but
on
when it's
Scott
over,
Van Pelt.
These guys are sportsmen enough to respect their opponent when they're done.
This Cowboys dude is real.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Cerrone's.
And he does not have a sensor because he was on SportsCenter. He was on, I forget, he was on either Get Up or the other one where he was basically just laughing at questions that people were giving him and going, for you guys to ask that kind of thing, just kiboshing questions, keeping it real, cussing on the air.
Oh, yeah.
But I like that guy.
Yeah, he's easy to root for, Cowboy Cerrone. And he's a hell of a fighter.
And your point on McGregor is one where he kind of had to change, too, because let's keep in mind, too, he found out what marketing was all about. Up until this point, it was all about self-marketing, like you guys said, for fights and for hype for fights and for pay-per-view and all these things. But all of a sudden, he got in the liquor business. Mm-hmm. And people saw these commercials, and he was the spokesperson. And people see that guy and go, I don't like that guy. And because that guy's, you know, trying to sell that product, I don't like that product either. And I'm sure someone got in his ear and goes, if you really want to get into business and you want to be from a marketing standpoint, you want to be up in front of these things too, you might have to change your ways a little bit.
Well, I think the criminal activities has really humbled him more than anything. Oh, I think he realized he wasn't untouchable. And, you know, somebody asked the question during the press conference, hey, Connor, we know that Cowboy Cerrone doesn't like a lot of pomp and circumstance building up to his fights. Is that playing into why you're being so nice and why you're... And Connor was just like, no, I mean, he's a good dude. I don't hate him. I want to beat him and I'm going to beat him, but he's a good dude and I don't have any problem with him.
You'll see Connor and Nate Diaz still go back at each other, but I don't even think they hate each other.
No.
Honestly.
No.
Because after when Nate won the first fight, he absolutely shook his hand. When Connor won the second fight, Connor shook Nate's hand. They, yep. And they said a lot of mean things to each other.
I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot that goes on like that. But there are also, like I said, and this just comes from my experience on the local level with how many fights I covered locally and regionally. These guys, there were beefs even on the local level. One gym doesn't like the other gym. You know, and back in the day, 4 ounce and Silverback, which, by the way, Derek Lewis has trained at both. He started at Silverback. Now he trains with Crew Bob, right, who was at 4 ounce forever. Right. But those gyms hated each other, and there was beef between the gym managers, which was Coach Tony, rest in peace, and Crew Bob. And there was beef between all the fighters and this and that, and you stole my fighter and he went to your gym. But at the end of the day, as much as they hated each other, there was still enough respect for the man across the ring from you to get in there and fight you, that they would shake hands, and that was it. It was done when it was in the cage. And for the most part, most guys in MMA have been like
Khabib,
that.
That's real, though, right?
Oh, no, he genuinely hates Connor.
That's one of the real ones.
He does not like
Connor.
I
was trying to think of another example, and I think what was it? Was it Rashad Evans and Jackson?
And that was
they hated each other. And John Jones and Daniel Cormier hate each other.
Yep.
That, I think, all those are legit. And they, Cormier, I think, tried to take the high road. I think John Jones acted like a bitch a lot of times when it came to, okay, let's squash it and be. John Jones had his own way of doing things. But I think those were a few where the hate is real. But for the most part, yeah, it would be disappointing if you don't know that these guys are like, look, I'm an athlete. My job is to fight that guy. So I build up the hate, but when it's done, I respect him. We shake hands and we're done. We both got paid.
Khabib is funny, man. When he's angry, it's funny. Like, what you talk about me jump fence? He broke bus.
That's his big beef. By the way, I was wrong. 2016 was the last time Conor McGregor won a fight.
Okay,
it was Eddie Alvarez in 2016.
I know it was a while.
I thought it was 2015.
I was at the Eddie Alvarez fight.
That's still a long ass time ago.
Yeah,
to have won a UFC 100%. Fight. So
I was 60 back then. All right, we got one segment to go on the show. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final segment of the show. We put a bow on it. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Been a hell of a week. Just rolling through stuff and having a lot of fun. Bringing everything to you as it becomes undone, I guess, and becomes
Barry and I public. Were talking about it before the show, dude. This great week of shows
a lot
this
of
week. A lot of you people who've missed it, I would strongly encourage you guys to check out the podcast on demand, Audio Boom, Podcast Arena, whatever, ESPN97.5.com. Definitely consume that, man. On-demanders especially.
I I know that it's a that we're having fun on the show when it's 3:30 and I'm like, damn, I feel like I just sat down. And it's been all week. And that's just because there's so much to talk about. Accusations flying everywhere, which to me makes it fun. Not even validating, just reading them and just having fun with it all. This has been a fun week for sure.
There's no doubt about it. And there's been no shortage of things to get to because, like we said, the week started off where we thought, and literally we went into the weekend last weekend thinking it was all going to be about the Texans, win, lose, or otherwise. And then we knew what happened. And we thought it was all going to be about the Texans and Bill O'Brien and the unraveling and all the different plays. And lo and behold, when we flipped the switches on to go on the air, the breaking news came out that the punishment was coming down from MLB Baseball about the Astros.
Yep.
And the floodgates open. And it's just been a plethora of information and a story since then. So lots to unravel as the week continues.
Real quick, I just want to read this. Manny's wife. So Manny texted me. He said, I have y'all turned up in the truck. Mm-hmm. And my wife is not happy. She doesn't understand the suspects.
Why?
So Manny, I don't know who your wife is or what her name is, but I'm just, look, if she doesn't understand it, it's probably because we're too smart for her. It's probably because we use big words.
Like plethora.
Exacerbate, which she probably thinks is sexual. It's just probably because we're too highbrow. We're too good for her. That's probably what it is.
She's not genuinely upset or anything.
No, he said she is not happy about this. So to Manny's wife, I say, oh, well.
Well,
put in some headphones, Manny's wife.
That's not Manny Fresh, is it?
I don't think so.
I wouldn't know, but I don't know why. I mean,
to Manny's wife, I say, whatever.
Does she like the other
I'm
shows?
Sorry you have Can terrible taste in listening if you don't like us. I'm sorry, you're dumb. You're just dumb, Manny's wife. See? You're a big, dumb wife. I mean, I don't know if you're big or not, but I just meant like big, dumb wife, like you're just dumb. In a big way.
There's someone not that's going to be listening on the regular basis and stopping at our next remote.
Who?
Manny's wife.
Well, he snitched on her, not me. Blame Manny.
God, you're like Mike Fire. He's like Mike Fires. He got the ball rolling, and you just decided to take it and run.
Manny is
I'll say this. Give us two, three more listens.
No, don't give us anything. If you can't stand us, it's probably because you're not smart enough. So don't worry about it, Manny's wife.
Chandler Rome tweeting out 5 minutes ago, statement from Major League Baseball. MLB explored wearable devices during the investigation, but found no evidence to substantiate it.
In 2017. But the Chapman at bat was 2019. So the whole don't tear my jersey off was 2019. Let's see. Did they specify what year they investigated, or was it all of it?
That's a good question. I guess. Hopefully someone hits Chandler Rome with that so he can hit back.
Yeah.
He can get in there. He can find out for us because inquiring minds want to know.
Somebody texted and said, I don't think Manny's going to be allowed to listen to you guys anymore. She's probably not smart enough to figure out how to stop him. So it don't matter.
Well, you're really going at Manny's wife right now. Jeez.
Damn.
Well, why are you hating on us, Manny's wife? We're just over here doing our thing, having a good time. And you get in there, she's probably like, what is this? I don't understand this. This is stupid. God. Sports are dumb. Man, like, oh, God.
You South Park?
Sound like a wife.
You sound like South Park.
You did sound like South Park. Like, that
dead
was
on.
A pretty good South
wow.
Park. You need to do a South Park. Seriously.
There it is.
That was on point.
No, that wasn't me. That was Manny's wife. She sounds like South Park. All right, I'll stop.
Could you stop? That was 2 minutes of it. Can we leave poor Manny's wife alone now?
Well, don't say you don't like listening to us, and I won't have to, won't have to defend our show.
I gotta believe wherever they are right now.
He's in so much.
He might
his
be
his wife's
slapped.
Face has to be redder than your shirt too. Like just sitting there, probably glaring at him, but just embarrassed as hell as you just literally undressed her on the air.
People are like, "Rip to Manny, rest in peace to Manny."
Damn.
Oh, that's funny.
That was
sorry.
That was very, very harsh.
Well, all right. Truth hurts, I guess.
Okay. So
another reminder that the Blitz is at Tight End Sports Bar and Grill.
Trying to make it not awkward right now.
Yeah,
kind of.
Nah,
it's all right. It's not that bad. Okay. It's not like that's the first time you went off on a listener.
Nope.
It's not the last time either one of us is. All of us have gone off on listeners. So.
That's right.
But yeah, definitely go to Tight End Sports Bar and Grill because I'm going to be there. I'm leaving right after the show. have some drinks.
I saw your tweet today, God. Barry.
Good luck trying to hang with Nick.
Yeah.
Y'all are having drinks.
No, I'm responsible when I'm in League City because it's a long drive, so I'm responsible.
Uh-huh.
An Uber is like $1,000 from League City.
First of all, you and responsible are not.
Not buying that.
That's not.
They're not
compatible.
That's not
an association that has never taken place.
Okay, when I drink, I may not be as responsible.
Like, literally, when you see a Budweiser commercial and they're like, Budweiser, drink responsibly. And then if you really look at the bottom, it says, especially you, Nick, because we know how you are. You can literally see that in the fine print.
Were you responsible in drinking last evening?
I actually, I was.
Yeah, did you watch the documentary you told the people you would because you didn't drink?
I was like leaning over on the couch and I just couldn't even. I was like, where's the remote? And I couldn't find it. And it was just.
Did you preview before you texted?
No, I didn't.
I need to see these texts.
Yep.
I think you should tweet them out.
Nope, not going to do that.
It's bad when you
would never do that.
You should never.
Come on,
ask
Joel Fiers. Tweet him out.
No chance. By the way, did you see Tyson Fury's trying to keep his testosterone levels up?
Up?
Yep.
He's got a thyroid issue too?
Nope, but he definitely doesn't have a problem making sure that in order he believes to keep his testosterone levels up and working at a good pace, he's masturbating 7 times a day.
And he has to use the right lotion.
What?
That's what he says. His quote, not mine.
The right lotion?
Yep.
What is the right lotion? Did he say, is it Jergens?
Let me look
Jergens, Barry.
Jergens.
Oh, sorry.
Joel.
I thought it was, never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just, I just found that
7 times a day?
That's a lot. That's excessive.
Oh, it is?
Well, you want to tell everybody about your tweet?
You didn't like my tweet?
I didn't say I didn't like it. I just saw it. It's kind of apropos.
Listen, Nick will back me up on this.
Nickelback.
It's 100% fact. I tweeted this out today, Nicholas. You tell me Joel didn't say anything, and he's not going to. He's always going to take the high road when it comes to this kind of talk.
The high hard one?
Oh, I hate you so much. I said, and I tweeted it out, and I said, there is no more vulnerable moment in a man's life than when he is laying there with his junk in his hand, waiting to click on the skip ad button on a Pornhub video.
Oh my God, that is so true.
Thank you.
That is so true. Like, did you tweet that out?
Yeah.
Why did I not
retweet
this?
Because you were too drunk to read it. That's why. We go right back to last night.
No, it was 6 hours ago. It was this morning.
Oh, okay.
But that's like the most vulnerable moment in a man's life.
100%.
You're just sitting there buck ass naked. You got your junk in your hands, and you're just like, oh, my God. You're just seeing that countdown, like 5, 4. You're like, oh, please just show me the skip ad already. It's a very vulnerable moment in our life.
That was a well-drafted tweet. Though.
Thank you so much, because it's a fact, Joel. He just won't admit it.
I gave
Joel
you credit enough. I threw
Joel
it
knows.
To you so you could bring it up, but you're right.
Lisa was pregnant for 9 months. He trust me, there was plenty of, quote, vulnerability on Joel's part during that time.
Good thing art class goes from 3 to 4 in my house. Yay me. Got that to
you
look forward to.
You brought it up, buddy.
Yeah, and the more I try to do you favors, the more I'm taking a kick in the nuts. All right, that'll do it for us on the Thursday. FPF tough. Friday tomorrow. Don't miss it. And before we do that, we do to always tell you to do this. Stay tuned till 7 o'clock because the Blitz is coming up next. It's Fred, it's Aaron, it's AJ. Coming to you live from Tight End Sports Bar. Nick will be there, too. Stop in and see him. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy. This is Nolan Ryan. You're listening to Houston's best sports talk, ESPN 97.5.